Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Brian Lehrer's Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, November 10th. I'm Nancy Solomon from the WNYC and Gothamist Newsroom and the host of the podcast Dead End, filling in for Brian today. When New York's former governor Andrew Cuomo was still in office, he had an environmental plan he called the Restore Mother Nature Bond Act. Good title, right? But like so many things in early COVID, those plans for using $3 billion with a B dollars in state bonds to invest in environmental infrastructure were shelved due to fiscal concerns. But that idea was rebranded, revamped, to allocate $4.2 billion and put on the ballot in New York State, and it passed. On the West Coast, Californians voted against Proposition 30, which would have taxed wealthier Californians in order to fund electric vehicle infrastructure and help fight wildfires. With me now is Blanca Begert, reporting fellow at GRIST, a nonprofit independent media organization that focuses on climate solutions journalism. Blanca, welcome to WNYC. So we'll talk a little more about the two ballot initiatives in New York and California, and we can take listener calls too. But first, in your recent article in GRIST, you make the point that there were a lot of environmentally focused ballot initiatives in 2020 because it was a way to take things out of a stalled Congress's hands. Can you tell us more about that history and include, like, why was it so important to watch what's happening in New York and California, you know, two powerhouse states?
Yeah, so in 2018 and in 2020, there were a lot more climate initiatives at state levels. In 2018 and in 2020, there was one in Nevada to transition to clean energy, and there were several to regulate the oil and gas industry that failed against massive industry spending. This year, there were fewer. People from the League of Conservation Voters said one of the reasons that could be is because these types of deals, get worked out in the legislature and then don't have to get put on ballots. But this year there were two big ones in New York and in California. Both of them, as you mentioned, the New York one passed and the California one didn't. Both would have marshaled, billions of dollars for climate action in both states. And they were important to watch even for people who don't live in those states because, these are, big states with big populations and big economies and, have already set ambitious climate targets and were with these measures showing that, that wasn't enough. And so people were trying to do more and, set a model for other parts of the country to follow.
Yeah, I've heard it said about California. I don't know that I've ever read anything about New York about this, but that the economy of California is so big that when the state regulates something, like, mandates a particular, like, emission standard, let's say, for cars, that the auto industry basically has to make cars that way for everybody. So it really gives California voters a lot of power, and we'll talk about exactly what that vote, meant and where it went. But first, let's go to New York. The Clean Water, Clean Air, and Clean Jobs Environmental Bond Act of 2022, which the majority of New York voters voted yes on. I believe the latest numbers are 68% yes. So what exactly did New Yorkers just vote to fund?
Yeah, so New Yorkers just voted to allow the state comptroller to sell bonds up to $4.2 billion. And that is to pay for major projects to protect and restore New York's natural resources, reduce water and air pollution, and strengthen the state's response to climate change. So this act will, you know, be able to fund a huge variety of different types of projects across the state. You know, there's anything from climate change mitigation, like energy efficiency upgrades for buildings and zero emission school buses and renewable energy projects, to, you know, there's a big amount set aside for flood risk reduction, coastal rehabilitation, wetland restoration, and money for voluntary buyout programs for people in flood zones. And, you know, there's money set aside for water quality infrastructure, wastewater treatment upgrades, stormwater management, and then also land conservation, farm preservation. So it's a lot of different types of projects, and there was a big coalition behind getting this passed.
Blanca, according to your reporting, there was no organized opposition to New York's Environmental Bond Act. Do you think that's because the interests of so many people living in the state, like it was so broad, from farmers to people living in coastal areas and flood zones? Was there just so much support for it that there was no point in mounting an opposition, or what was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a big part of it. You know, this is going to benefit hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers. And, you know, there's projects right in people's backyard. And there was a study that came out showing that this could create 84,000 jobs across the state. So there was, yeah, quite a broad and diverse coalition. There was electrical workers unions, business groups behind this, environmental organizations, farmers, land trusts. So I think, and also, you know, 35% of the funding from this act will go to disadvantaged communities as sort of defined by a state process. So yeah, there was just a huge variety of benefits and groups and people that would benefit from this. And then I think, you know, part of it also is that as compared to Prop 30 in California, where there was a large opposition of you know, the wealthy individuals that would have been impacted by that tax, you know, paying and funding a strong no campaign. In this case, the money was being raised through selling state bonds, which doesn't have the same sort of targeted group of people that would be impacted by it. So I think that's probably part of also why there wasn't an organized group of, you know, high income taxpayers getting together to fight this opposition, fight this proposition.
Yeah, that's a really interesting distinction. Well, the New York State Conservative Party did oppose the measure. I assume that has to do with the price tag and how a bond then eventually trickles down to taxpayers. So how does that work exactly? Like, what is it going to cost your average person in New York State?
Yeah, so right. So while there was no organized opposition, the New York State Conservative Party and certain fiscal conservatives in the state spoke out against it, mainly on the point of not wanting the state to go into more debt. But, you know, the governor's office has said repeatedly that, you know, the debt, you know, associated with the bonds will come from the debt payments will come from the state's general fund and were legislated in the state's long term financial plans in 2019. So taxpayers, again, according to the governor's office, shouldn't expect to see any increase in state taxes as a result of this bond act.
It's interesting that, you know, New York, it sounds to me from what you're saying that New York had a sort of successful strategy for getting this done. And California's reliance on a tax increase on the wealthy might have doomed it. But let's back up for, let's address that, but let's back up for a moment. So tell us more about California's Proposition 30. So 59.1% of voters voted against it on Tuesday. What would have happened? What was it about? What would it have done for California?
Yes. So this one, similar to the Bond Act, but even more so, would have raised billions of dollars for climate action. So the idea behind Prop 30 It was a climate bill to tax people in California who make over $2 million, an increase of 1.75% income tax. And the money, which was estimated to be between $3 to $5 billion a year, or $3.5 to $5 billion a year, would have gone to 80% to fund electric vehicle subsidy programs and build charging stations, and then 20% to wildfire prevention.
And what was the opposition to it?
So there was, a group of the biggest donors to the opposition to Prop 30 were wealthy individuals, millionaires in the state, who contributed $30 million. But I think, the star of the opposition and, the major opponent that really, made an impact in the way that this measure was received was Governor Gavin Newsom, the state's Democratic governor, who came out really hard against this measure. And that was sort of a surprise because this, like the Bond Act, had a huge coalition, hundreds of environmental and public health groups behind this as a way to reduce carbon emissions and air pollution. Again, also labor groups, firefighters, electric workers unions. And it was endorsed almost unanimously by the California Democratic Party. Governor Gavin Newsom, had reasons for coming out against this. A big target of his was the involvement of the rideshare company Lyft, but also concerns about increasing income tax on the wealthy. He's a trusted voice on climate in the state, and I think really was a decisive factor in why this bill failed.
Blanca, while New York Governor Kathy Hochul was fully behind New York's Environmental Bond Act, and we were just hearing from Joy that Governor Gavin Newsom campaigned against Prop 30, saying that it was a cash grab from List. Tell us a little bit more about that. Like, what was Newsom saying, and how was it that swayed people in California?
Sure. And before answering that, I just want to say, I think the people that, people I've been talking to as I follow up on this are really emphasizing that this vote shouldn't necessarily be read as like a rejection of climate action on behalf of California voters, or even on a rejection on progressive taxes on the wealthy. A lot of the argument that was being made by Newsom was around the involvement of Lyft, and I think that was in the proposition's development and funding. And I think that's sort of the message that came across to a lot of voters. So Lyft, yes, the rideshare company, was very involved in funding the campaign for this proposition, and came on later, but was involved in part of drafting it as well. Lyft stands to benefit because there's a law in California that by 2030, all rideshare companies have to log 90% of their miles in electric vehicles. And so Newsom was saying that, this was a corporate tax grab because Lyft would be relying on taxpayer money to make this transition instead of paying for it for itself. And, while there are reasons to, be wary of corporations being involved in drafting legislation, and we saw that last election cycle, with another proposition that rideshare companies were very involved in California, this wasn't exactly a tax, like a carve out for Lyft. The money wouldn't have gone to Lyft. It would have gone to the agencies that Newsom funds with his very own budget to subsidize and incentivize electric vehicles and build charging stations and fight wildfires. So, the money would have gone, the incentives would have gone to Lyft drivers to transition to electric vehicles, just like it would have gone to any drivers, any California drivers. But it's a lot easier to get a no vote on a new proposition than it is to get a yes. And I think the governor and the no campaign was able to sow enough seeds of doubt around the involvement of Lyft to get the no vote on this one.
Blanca, what would you say lies ahead, bouncing back to California, for the electric vehicles infrastructure plans since Prop 30 didn't get approved?
Yeah, that's sort of the million-dollar question. I mean, there is money for electric vehicle transition in California. The state just passed a $54 billion climate initiative, and $10 billion of that is going to electric vehicle transition over 5 years. There's also, you know, money coming for incentives through the Inflation Reduction Act and through the infrastructure bill for charging stations. And this year, you know, the state has like an $100 billion budget surplus. So, you know, there is money and action commitments, but and you know, and also to ban the sale of all gas cars by 2035. But you know, the transition to 100% electric vehicles is going to be hugely expensive. And you know, anyone who's been following this in California also knows that charging infrastructure is like a major need and limitation at the moment. And you know, there's studies saying that the money that we have for this now is just not enough. You know, currently the money that's always put aside for EV incentive programs runs out. So we know that you know, we need more, and that $10 billion in the climate initiative is a promise, it's not a law. And so I think the Prop 30 would have been, you know, a more certain source of funding. But, you know, the good news is that we do have a governor who's made successful commitments for moving in the right direction on transitioning transportation, and, you know, a legislature with leaders who've put climate at the top of their lists. And we're still seeing, you know, how that all will shake out in the elections. But hopefully, you know, California is still able to move forward with its climate goals.
And in terms of New York's bond measure that did pass, you know, often when we talk about investments in things to ameliorate climate change, you know, we talk about the green economy, we talk about jobs, and so it's not just addressing climate change, but also like that these are economic propositions that are going to boost the economy is the argument that's made. Any ideas on what this bond measure will do for New York's economy? Has there been an analysis on the amount of jobs that could be created out of this spending?
Yeah, I think as I mentioned earlier in the interview, there was an analysis that showed 84,000 jobs could be created across New York, and that's part of the reason why we saw so many unions backing this, including, you know, electrical workers unions that will be involved in transitioning to renewable energies. And yeah, and then in terms of the economy, I would also just say, you know, this is an investment to, you know, avoid what would be potentially save, you know, billions and billions of dollars in what would be the cost of not you know, hardening, adapting and making plans to, you know, upgrade our infrastructure to be more climate resilient, and also the cost of not taking steps to mitigate climate change.
Before we go, do you want to tell listeners a little bit more about GRIST and solutions journalism for those who aren't familiar with either?
Yes, sure. I'm writing for a great outlet called GRIST. It's grist.org. We have, you know, tons of stories, and we have good coverage around California and New York, but also the whole country, you know, the Midwest as well. And we focus on stories of climate solutions and climate justice. And yes, I would definitely direct listeners to go check out some of the great reporting by the various reporters at GRIST.
And solutions journalism just refers to the idea of doing stories that are about what works as opposed to constantly breaking down what doesn't work, correct?
Right. It's not all gloom and doom. There are amazing people across the country doing great and inspiring things around climate change and climate justice, and we try to highlight those stories.
Okay, I'm totally up for diminishing the gloom and doom. Thanks so much for talking with us. We've been talking to Blanca Begert, a reporting fellow at GRIST. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.